Certainly glad to see everyone here this evening. If you have a Bible, open up to Luke chapter 16. Luke in chapter 16. And we'll be in verse 19 starting out. And what brought this upon me was we was in class the other day, and I asked the kids in class, I said, if I told y'all that I was homeless, what would you say? And little Maddie, I think she's 11, she said, "We're all homeless." She said, "We're waiting on our spiritual home." And my eyes just lit up. And I said, "Hey, I'm so proud of you, you know, because you're that young and you realize this already. This is a good feeling to have this." And sometimes I think we don't realize that our children listen to us and they hear the things that are going on, and they're actually soaking it in and absorbing it. And so I was encouraged by that moment. So I wanted to bring this lesson to us today, this new home that we have. And if you have a Bible and you're opened up, we're going to start off in verse 19 in chapter 16 of Luke. "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury. He lived in luxury every day. And at his gate laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died, and he was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire.' But Abraham replied, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us.' He answered, 'Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my house, to my father's house. For I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment.' Abraham replied to him, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' 'No, Father Abraham,' he said, 'but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" Sometimes people's hearts are just hardened. And that's what you're going to see. Some people just don't want to admit that Christ is our Lord and Savior, and He rose from the dead for us. And it's going to be tough on them. As we go through this lesson, we're going to understand a little bit more of it, of how important it is for us to follow suit with what we're told. If you turn back to the Old Testament in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, "The soul who sins is the one who will die. The son will not share the guilt of the father, nor will the father share the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous man will be credited to him, and the wickedness of the wicked will all be charged against him." Now, these are things that we go through in our lives, because people come to you all the time and say, "Well, my child's being punished because of something I did when I was a kid," or "God's punishing me for my sins in my earlier youth," or "I act this way because my dad done this to me, or my mom done this to me, my grandparent done this to me." And that's not the case. You make your own decisions. And we're told that we make our own decisions. The sin that you create for yourself is your sin. It's on you. Your child's sin that they create is on them. Everyone has their own. And you face judgment upon what you do. I face judgment upon what I do. There's good choices and there's bad choices to these decisions. Psalms 9 and 17. "The wicked will return to the grave, all the nations that forget God." So I want to tell you how important it is to know about God and know what God is, because the wicked returning to that grave is not a good thing. In Revelation chapter 21, in verse 8. The cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexual immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all the liars. Their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. You remember we mentioned the second death this morning. Those of you that was here this morning, we talked about that second death. And that second death is not a good thing. The second death is what the rich man's going through. This torment that he was talking about earlier when we read this. That's not a good place to be, and it's not a good decision, and it's not a good choice for yourself. Luke, back in Luke, and just keep your finger over there on that because we'll kind of go back and forth over there. Luke in verse 24, he said, "So he called to him, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I am in agony in this fire.'" Did y'all catch before that where he was at? He's laying out, begging for the food, the scraps that fall from the table that the dogs have been eating, that he puts out for the dogs. It's trash is what it is. And it says the dogs come and lick his sores. This man's in a bad way. So he has a disease, right? And he's in a bad shape. And he's asking him if he will dip, if Lazarus, the guy with these bad sores, will dip his finger in cool water and touch his tongue. He's in a bad shape, isn't he? He's hurting. He's in pain and torment. It's not a good place to be. You're looking at this, and this is what they call punishment. This rich man is here at this time, and he's regretting the choices that he makes. So he's looking upon it, and he says, "Please go tell my brothers. Go to my father's house and tell them how bad this is for me. I know you can get there and do it." You make your own decisions. You get to make your own choices. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians right quick. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 in verse 8. "He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of His power." You see, that punishment is never ending. The rich man's regretting it. But you see how on the other side of it, how Abraham and Lazarus was, they was okay. There wasn't all that hurt and pain. They was all right. And they felt okay. Turn back to the old scripture of the Proverbs, chapter 23, verse 13. "Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death." You see, God loves his children. Christ loves children. We have to break this cycle of doing wrong and continuing to do wrong. And it starts with young children. We start with our young children, breaking this cycle and starting them off fresh. Children learn early what they can and what they can't get away with. They watch their parents and they see when we scold them and we say you're grounded for a week and you only ground them for 3 days instead of a full week. They say, "Oh, I got away with a couple 3 days in there. So the next time I might get away with a little more." They watch us and they learn from it. And the world watches and learns from that also. "Oh, they're not a Christian all the time. Only when they're at church. So we can get this from them here." That's not the way we should live. So we need to be obedient in the way that we act, in the way that we teach our children. God loves these little children. I had someone ask me one time, why will God allow a little child to die? And I thought about it, and I said, "Well, you know," I said, "heaven's going to be this special and miraculous place that we're supposed to have, and everything's supposed to be perfect there. And we know that Jesus loves the little children." We're fixing to read that in Mark here in just a minute. And we know that Jesus loves these little children. So I'm assuming that we're going to need little children in heaven, from baby infants on up. And that's why we have certain people that die at age 40, certain people die at age 30, 31, 32, and all the way down to 0 months so that we can have all of it in there. And that's what I look forward to, is seeing everyone and all the little children. And little children make me happy. And little children make Jesus happy. And when you look at it in this aspect, we're all God's children. And we should all want to make God happy. Turn with me to Mark chapter 9. Book of Mark chapter 9 and verse 42. Mark 9 and verse 42. If anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands and to go to hell where the fire never goes out. These little children are important to God, aren't they? They're important to Christ. He said, if anyone harms them, so don't cause them to sin. So by us doing the right thing constantly, we're teaching the young people that's around us not to do wrong. So we're showing them, we're leading by example. That's important for us, to lead by example. Constantly, to keep this in our mindset. Never allow that to leave your mind. Turn back with me to Genesis. And I want to show you how important it is. How important it is following God's instructions and following His word and His will. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, leave and your people and your father's household, and go to the land where I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left as the Lord had told him. What did he do? Exactly what the Lord told him to do. And then you flip back over to the book of Luke. And did you catch who was here? The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. Where was Abraham at? He was in heaven. Abraham was in the good place. Abraham was close to God. Abraham did the right thing. And then he looks across the chasm and he sees the rich man that's in torment. And he's begging for him to come over. He said, I can't come to you, nor you can't come to me, because there's this great chasm in between us. Luke chapter 16, verse 22. The time it came, the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And it says, in hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. This leads to happiness, doesn't it? So Abraham, following God's instructions, led him to happiness. It didn't lead him to sorrow or pain, it led him to happiness. Revelation chapter 20 is our next scripture that we're going to be in. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 13. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Man, oh man. You don't want your name not being in that book of life. Your name being in there is important. So that's why I tell you that some people say, well, I don't even want to matter if anybody remembers me or knows me or whatever. But your name means something to you. And your name needs to be placed in that book of life so that you don't get thrown into that lake of fire. Because as we know, that rich man didn't like it very well. He was in torment and he was hurting. He was suffering. And he didn't want his brothers to face the same judgment that he's been given. He was looking for a way out for them, even trying to help them from there. Go back to Luke in chapter 13 with me, if you would. Luke in chapter 13, verse 28. This second death, there will be weeping, gnashing of teeth. And when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves will be thrown out. That's suffering enough. Being able to witness people outside of there that are happy and enjoying themselves. That's enough pain for you right there. But to have that fire, that sulfur, that burning, that's terrible. It's horrible thinking about it. I can remember sayings like, you make your bed, you sleep in it. You make your bed with coals, I'll tell you what, you're going to wake up hot, aren't you? Your tail end's going to be burnt up. It's not going to be good. But if you make it nice and fluffy with feathers and cotton, you sleep well, you feel good, it's enjoyable. Don't make your bed into something that you can't handle, that's suffering for yourself. Matthew chapter 13 is our next scripture. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and it went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, Do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat which is in them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring them into my barn. That wheat is the good people, the good wheat. Those weeds, that's the bad people that are thrown into the lake of fire. And we all have to live amongst one another while we're here on earth. That means good people and bad people live together. We're all one. We're here. We witness. We talk to each other. We see each other all the time. But that doesn't mean that you and I have to follow suit with what someone does that's not according to God's word. We do not have to follow suit with that. And that's how come Abraham was on the good side, because he didn't fall suit with all that other mess. He didn't look to other people and say, well, I'm going to do whatever they want to do because they're here and God's over here. No, God's with you and God's with I, and we need to stick with him and for that purpose, because it's important for us to have that home, for our children to have that home, for our loved ones that we love and care for to be able to see us and know that they're going to have that home also with us. Matthew chapter 10 in verse 28 tells us, Do not be afraid of those who will kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. You remember that second death? That's not a good place for us. And I know you guys, you're like, man, that's something else right there. We forget sometimes how punishing and how bad this place is. And we need to be reminded of it from time to time so that we can understand it and want to strive more to reach the goal that we've set for ourselves. Back in the book of Luke again, in chapter 16, 27 down through 31, he answered, I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. And Abraham replied, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father. If someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said, Not even if someone comes back from the dead, rises from the dead, will they repent. Because they don't want to. They don't want it. We have to live together here with them, but we don't have to all act the same, do we? We can have our own minds, our own judgments. Remember what we learned earlier in this lesson? Your sins are your sins. Not your father's, not your dad's, not your grandpa's, not your son's, not your daughter's. We cause our own. We're going to face judgment upon our own selves, not for someone else. So we have to remember that always. Back to Matthew chapter 16. One more time. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it again. You have to be with me. We have to stick with Jesus. You take up that cross, and we got to tote it. And when we tote that cross, we got to tote it with pride and with honor and dignity. 16 in verse 19. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Y'all catch that? The keys to your new home. So, I asked this little girl, was I homeless? If I said I was homeless, would you believe me? What do you think about that? And she said, we're all homeless. We're looking for a new spiritual home. There's two different homes that we get to have. We get to choose from. You get to choose, do you want a good home? Or do you want a home that's full of fire and burning? Pain and torment. If we do what we're supposed to, you're going to get the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So if you have to lose whatever it is, people, material things, whatever it is, family members, in order to stay close to God, that's what we have to do. It's important to God to put God first. And I tell y'all all the time, every time I preach, I say, if we put God first in our lives, we're also putting our family and our friends and our loved ones first also. Because you are doing the right thing. Go with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 10. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a welcome into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is your new home. Be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. That's something that's important for us to understand. And you will receive a rich welcome into the kingdom of heaven. Go back to Luke for just a minute. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 in verse 24. Now, this parable is long, and I'm not going to read this whole parable to y'all. This is the parable of the lost son. And this son wanted all of his dad's inheritance before his dad passed away. He wanted to go ahead and get all of his stuff right now, and he takes it. And he goes off and he squanders all of his pop's money away. And he has nothing left. And he's eating out of pig troughs. He's in a bad way. He's just as bad as the man that was laying as the beggar. He's down there eating with pigs and slop. And he's laying there and he's looking and he says, even the people who work here, even the servants here are better than what I am. My dad back at home treats his servants better than this. I'm going back and I'm going to repent and I'm going to tell him that I did wrong. And maybe he'll give me a job and let me go to work for him where I can at least eat some good food, some decent food. I want you to look at verse 24. He says in chapter 15, "For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. This is the celebration that God has with us. This is the celebration of our new home. When we receive the keys to that new home, this is the way God's going to welcome us into this new home. We was that lost son or that lost daughter, and we're going to be there with him because he loves us and cared for us. We're going to get the same welcome that this dad gave back to his son that he thought was dead and he was gone, so that he don't receive that second death. He only has the one earthly death. While you wait for this celebration, for this new home, for this happiness, you can go to 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 and verse 58. It says, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm and let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." So when we get down and out and we think that nothing good's happening, the church is not growing, people are not any good anymore, that the world's turning and going a different direction, remember that scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm and let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know in your heart that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." If anybody needs anything, prayers, if you don't know Jesus in this way, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.